This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another day in paradise. It's also a happy hump day, Trump day, 7:06. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I'm Bob Rose. Greg Cassidy is Greg Cassidy. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Everything going all right?
Absolutely.
Boy, I was thinking of you yesterday.
Uh-oh, what'd you do?
I waxed my BMW.
What?
Yes, I actually put a coat of wax on.
I'm
all
impressed.
By myself.
Well, it's a very small car.
I mean, it's true.
It's a tiny little car. The hood is the biggest piece of metal on that car.
You're right.
But I love the Z3.
Yeah, and that that emerald green metallic finish.
Oh, just, yeah.
It's popping, baby.
Yeah.
See, it's popping.
Both of ours need a really good detail and wax and the whole bit.
It's just bring it to work, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I need to do that.
Because that's like your thing.
Yeah.
Part of your thing. One of your things.
Well, the thing is, it's like, and you found this out by doing a good, thorough wax job on it. That's why I wash the cars by hand. That's when you find little scratches that need touched up, little dings, little things. You don't find all those just driving them through a car wash or something.
No, I found, quite a few. They're tiny, but they're
sure.
Nicks, and you can see them now, in the hood, because the rest of the paint is pretty pristine.
Yep.
That kind of bothers me.
But
you can get it just touched up, you think?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Okay.
But you don't know they're there until you actually take the time to.
That's true. And that's really the same thing. Yeah, your motorcycle, when you go through it yourself, you'll find the loose bolt or something leaking or something like that. Yeah.
That loose screw behind the handlebars, that's the one you really got to be careful about.
You're referring to moi?
Oh, no. I'm just like, there's a loose screw anywhere near the handlebars.
Let me tell you about the plastic surgeon who fixed my face. It's not a joke.
Yeah.
He put in, plates and screws,
right.
And about a year later, one of them worked its way out.
And he goes, Loctite?
He says it happens about 1 in 100 of these titanium or stainless steel screws. Yeah, about 1 in 100.
Okay.
And he said, and I figured you'd be, somebody who had a screw loose.
That's bad when your surgeon says that.
Yeah, but he was a huge Rush fan.
Oh, okay.
And he says, you're lucky I didn't tattoo Rush on your skull while I was in there fixing your face.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, though, who would see it?
So they have to go in and, like, tighten it up? Or what do they do in a case like
that? Oh, they just they took it out because, the bones around the skull, this was like on my, the screw fell out in my mouth.
No.
Yeah, it worked its way out of the upper gum.
I get.
Well, I had a Lafort 3 fracture where you could basically, if theoretically, just kind of take your fingers.
Yeah.
And you could have pulled the middle of my face out.
Wow.
Not good.
Not good.
Hmm.
Wow. So you really did have a screw loose and it was medically documented.
And now I do have a face for radio, whereas before.
Yeah.
I think I was on a path to Hollywood.
What? Man.
Maybe not so much.
It's that one accident did it.
Anyway, the good Lord was looking out for me.
Sounds like.
And I appreciate that. The Democrats are really trying to make hay and a big deal out of this Signal chat that was going on. Look, first of all, the Signal chat that we're talking about, it's an app, and it's encrypted on both ends, and it is considered very, very safe and used by, you know, many people in the political world. In fact, CIA Director John Ratcliffe testified that absolutely Signal messaging app is authorized for government use. So the Democrats had a complete overreaction, which is par for the course, I guess. And it just, and it's coming from this group that didn't see a national security risk in allowing millions and millions of undocumented, many of them unvetted, unchecked human beings to swarm across our borders.
From around the world, no less, including China and the Middle East.
Yeah.
What could go wrong there?
And they're worried about a national security issue, you know, could get out because of this chat. Mm-hmm. But they don't care that 100,000 Americans were dying from fentanyl poisoning because of the open borders. And, you know, the list goes on and on.
Well, plus the fact that the topic was the attack to the Houthis, it's already over. So nothing's going to happen.
Exactly. Now, the Democrats, of course, got it wrong, and their overreaction was ridiculous, and most people will see it for what it is, which is an overreaction. The Republicans, and you know, even Mike Waltz himself, who I've said this earlier, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I really am a fan. This guy, you know, Green Beret, I think he's a very strong, tough guy. I think he's a very smart guy. And now, in one hand, he took responsibility for it, even though it wasn't really him per se. But, you know, he's kind of in charge with that situation. He's taken charge. You know, the buck stops with me kind of attitude. I respect that. But he also took time and energy to go after the Atlantic editor-in-chief, Jeffrey Goldberg. That was, this was the essence of the issue, that somehow he was included on this chat. And, of course, never should have been. But Waltz getting into this guy personally, because Jeffrey Goldberg is no fan of Trump, the Atlantic, no fan of conservatives, Republicans, and especially Trump, okay? But here's the thing. This wasn't Jeffrey Goldberg's fault. You can say he's a lot of things, and you'd probably be accurate. But in this particular case and scenario, there's nothing to hold him accountable for except the fact that he didn't release the information ahead of time, which could have had an impact on the attack on the Houthis.
Well, let me ask this though, because you know, usually if you get a fax or an email by accident, a lot of times it will say at the bottom, "Hey, if you know this was not intended for you," there's a whole little disclaimer at the bottom.
Yeah,
would the right thing have been for him to immediately get out of it, not read it, not make any copies, and he probably was able, if he wanted to say, even if he jumped into the chat and say, "Hey, guys, I'm here. I'm not supposed to be. I'm bailing out now, but I'm bringing it to your attention," as opposed to what he did do is make it a national story.
I think that
I'm just saying the right thing to do.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to get inside his head, and here's what he probably thought. At first, he thought it was kind of a, you know, satire, it's a joke, it's a spoof, you know, they're going to invite me into their chat.
Sure.
And then once that wears off and he realizes it was real, he waited to see if it was real. He actually hooked up to X right after when he thought the timing of the attack was going to come.
Right.
And then the chatter on the ground in Yemen was, oh, yeah, we're being attacked. So that, and then he knew for sure.
Right.
And then, you know, he reported on it. Now, if you wanted to address it, the most direct way would have been on the chat itself, like you said, and just said, "Hey, somebody messed up. I'm on this chat, and I shouldn't be. You know, I'm going to hang it up, but you might want to see what's what," right?
And that would have been the right thing to do.
Yeah, but that would have been the most direct and easiest thing to do.
Then we wouldn't even be talking about it.
But he was conflicted because he's also the editor-in-chief of a magazine that hates Trump, and it's sort of like, you know, you're conflicted. You know, could this make my value and paycheck better, and I can also push an agenda of being anti-Trump? And but the most important thing was is the Houthis didn't know. He didn't release any of that information.
No.
So that's the good stuff. So there's no reason to blame him, per se. He could have handled it better, but I wouldn't go into all that Because what it does is it says, okay, Mike Waltz, you're smart enough to like, hey, the blame stops with me. I take responsibility. But then you want to shoot slings and arrows at this guy who's, yeah, he's a bozo, but he didn't get asked to put on that list.
True.
So Trump handled it perfectly because he came out and said, yeah, it was one of Michael's, meaning Mike Waltz, it was one of his people on the phone. A staffer had his number on there. A staffer. The best course of action when you want to be transparent is to come out with the truth as quickly as you can.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you're a stand-up guy, Mike Waltz, but you know sometimes you need to be correct.
Yeah.
7:15 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's time for you to get on the air with us and air it out. What's Bugging You is next, brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So call in now. Ready? 877-975-9825. What's Bugging You is next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. Welcome. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's your turn. What's Bugging You? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those, but do call in 877-975-9825. If you don't get through right away, try back. We'll try to squeeze you in there one way or another. Good morning, Pam. What's bugging you?
Well, what's bugging me is I was watching or listening to the TV news station this morning while I was getting my lunch ready, and they were talking about bike and pedestrian safety forum thing today, that they're between 7 and 9 o'clock. They're going to be driving around all over downtown to talk about bike safety. Okay, how much did they spend on these buttons that these people are supposed to push for the crosswalks? Because none of them use it. They need to use that. I mean, they spent millions of dollars on these buttons, and these bike riders and these pedestrians just start running out in front of you. Okay, yes, you're in a crosswalk, but we don't see you if you don't press that stupid little button. And my husband goes, well, that's because it takes too much effort. Kind of like using a blinker on your car.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, he nailed it.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, I see people that there's no such thing, I guess, as jaywalking anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe if you wrote tickets to these people who violated those laws, that would do more to stop pedestrians from getting run over than anything else. You ever think of that?
Mm-hmm.
Drivers have enough on their plate to worry about these bozos on every corner and their bicycles.
Yeah.
John, good morning. What's bugging you?
Yeah, these demon rats have the unmitigated gall to whine about national security when they open the borders to criminal gangs, murderers of women and girls mostly, death to America, terrorists. What a bunch of slime.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the party that protected Eric Swalwell when he was cavorting with a Chinese spy, Fang Fang.
And that's put nicely.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Because it's a family show.
It was international relations.
Well, possibly. Yeah. Good morning, Rich. What's bugging you?
Hey, good morning. And I was thinking exactly the same thing like I was saying, but also, didn't Joe Biden take the Houthis off the terrorist list? If it wasn't for Trump getting in there, we wouldn't have been able to get these guys the way we did. And these people are crying about a guy getting on there by mistake. But anyway.
No, they got to have something, because other than that, there's not much substance there. So attacking Republicans is the only sport, apparently, they know. Let's go to Roger. What's bugging you?
Hi. What's bugging me is if you see a funeral procession with a police escort and there are vehicles behind you with their flashers on, don't pull into the middle of it and then stop at the stoplight so we can't stay with the funeral procession.
Yeah, there is people that just they don't understand some of that most basic etiquette when it comes to that. You'd think it's common sense, but apparently it's not.
Though they won't get out of the way of an ambulance or a fire truck, for goodness
sakes. That's true, too.
Come
it's
on.
Crazy. Oh, and then if you pull over, they think that might be an opportunity to get ahead of you.
Yes, I've had that happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some people almost got hurt doing that one day.
Uh-huh.
And that wasn't going to be me.
No.
Phil, good morning. What's bugging you?
Yeah, what's bugging me, after hearing Pam mention about jaywalking, it reminded me of my welcome to California. I'm in the Navy. I just get landed in San Diego, and I said, how do I get to the Navy base? Oh, the guy said, you cross the road over there, and there'll be a bus. It'll take you right there. My foot hit the curb, and flashing red lights pull up alongside me, and out comes this guy out of chips with the helmet, the dark glasses, and the jack boots. And he says, you ran a red light. And I said, how the hell could I run a red light? I'm walking. And he says, over here, we call it jaywalking. He says, what do you do if you do that in New York? I said, if you're not fast enough, you're dead. That's what I told the cop.
Oh, that was welcome to California time.
Wow.
Good morning, Jen. What's bugging you?
Good morning. Bugging me is I heard an interview of a woman that was out of the WEF, and she was talking about how they want to institute in Europe personal carbon credit allotment, and that if you wanted to travel, you'd have to buy carbon credits from some quote-unquote poor person because you're really going to need the money. And in the interviewer said, well, what if you have like a larger house or something? And she goes, well, then you're going to have to buy carbon credits for somebody else who can't afford to travel. And, you know, it will better their lives. It was so much arrogance and condescension. It was crazy. And that's what's bugging me.
Well, we know the green movement, the only green they want to move is called wealth redistribution. The rest of it is fake.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer, what's bugging you?
Well, I think everybody's forgotten that when Obama was president, he moved all these jihadis into public housing and gave them the internet. And they're just waiting for us to get at each other's throats. And then it's Allah Akbar all over again.
Oh, hope not. Good morning, Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, what's bugging me, Bob, is I always do my taxes by myself manually alone, no software involved, and it's just sitting over there on the coffee table, all the materials waiting to be prepared. I'm just being a little extra lazy. I think it's cruel and unusual punishment, the tax reporting mechanism.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that. That's why I have somebody else do it. Greg, what's bugging you?
I got one. So I got a bill in the mail for my wife, actually. She she went to Tennessee a couple weeks ago, and she drove through Atlanta to stop by and pick up a family member at the airport. Apparently, there are toll roads in Georgia that, it's the automatic cameras.
Right. But there's not even a toll booth.
But that's what I was going to say next. There's no toll booth, just a camera. So they send you the bill for the toll, which was $2.70.
Nice.
And a processing fee.
Yeah.
$25.
Wow.
For a toll that you can't pay unless you have a transponder in your car. But if you don't live in Georgia, why would you have a transponder in your car?
Yeah, and they've been doing that for years, like in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
But the processing fee is like $3 or $5 or maybe $7 bucks.
$25
on the missing of $2.70 in tolls, which you can't physically pay.
Right.
You'd have to have a device.
But
I wonder if there's warning sites that you must have the device or something. There might be.
There's even express lanes. If you were to jump in one for a moment to pass somebody, bam, toll.
Do you know why the St. John's River flows north, Greg?
No, Bob. Tell me.
Because Georgia sucks. 729 on the Bob Rose Show. Although I do like to visit it, and I love northern Georgia. So I'm just kidding.
I don't like them anymore.
But that part of it I don't like. All right. Coming up, lowering Florida's minimum wage? What? Could that be a good idea? We'll talk about it coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Good morning and welcome to 735, your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget, you can get the Bob Rose Show podcast by downloading the podcast like you would any other podcast. You can also use the Audacy app, AUDACY, and just click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show.
Hey, quick note, Sky listener saying Gainesville, Northwest 39th Ave there at 98th, apparently the light is cycling really, really, really fast. So be careful. Looks like it's going to be, when everything's a little off time like that. People try to jump through, then, it's kind of a mess. So just be aware of it.
Take your time. Be aware. Keep your eyes open. Put the phone down.
Yeah.
There you go. So Florida, in the state, in the legislature, they're considering lowering the minimum wage. Now, at first glance, I say this doesn't make sense in any way. If you look into it, well, maybe, maybe. I mean, just some of the highlights. Florida lawmakers are advancing bills that would allow employers to pay certain workers in training below the minimum wage for up to 12 months. Now, supporters say this will help small businesses attract skilled workers. I don't see how that attracts skilled workers, but anyway, that's what they're saying, while opponents warn it could lead to exploitation. That's definitely a concern that I have. The concern is, yeah, you could say anybody's in quote-unquote training, you're training on this new machine. Yeah, but you hired me. How can I do my job if you don't train me? I'm worried that this will be taken advantage of, and the people on the lowest end of the spectrum right now, socioeconomically in many cases, will be the ones that are going to be exploited and hurt by it. But maybe there is kind of a place for it. In House Careers and Workforce Subcommittee, they voted 12-4 along party lines to support HB 541, while the Senate Government Oversight and Accountability Committee approved a similar measure out of the Senate Bill 676, that would allow employers to pay workers involved in work study, internships, or other training programs below the minimum wage, but only for up to 12 months. Now, some of the things that are not clear, how it would be implemented, you know, in various industries. And if business owners were to take advantage and categorize employees, oh, yeah, this is a work study thing. This is an internship. Yeah, they're just in training. That we should be concerned. Now, the minimum wage is $13 an hour. Some people say, well, $13 an hour? Wow. And that's the minimum. So you're hiring people, theoretically, with zero skills. Maybe zero work experience, and they start out at $13 an hour? Well, that's going to cause the price of some things to go up. We use the burger as an example. You know, $13 to just in the very beginning of a career at, say, a burger place, and not necessarily looking for a career, but work experience. $13 an hour, when you look at your entire payroll, that can put some pressure on the business.
And if you're talking about, say, I don't know, maybe you've got a little restaurant or a little fast food place or a little business, like you're at a kiosk, you're in a mall, you're in a hospital. I mean, just to be there is expensive anyway.
Well, but you look at the cost all around us for everybody, like some things you can't escape. You've got to eat. So just the food, say, at the supermarket, that's gone up. You've got to have some sort of transportation, and the cost of that has gone up. So, you know, if you pay anybody less than $13 an hour, I don't know. I mean, if they're living at home and they're like a junior in high school, yeah, I guess in that case, it might not be as important what the wage is. It might be more important just to get actual work experience. The problem is, though, how are you going to oversee this? And how you've really got to go into great detail. One of the things that I would think about adding in is an age thing. Like, once you're 21, you know, once you're 21, they can't pay you that wage. That would be specifically designed for younger workers.
But it depends on the job. Everything's not a burger place. Because you're talking about programs. I think there's a lot of jobs that would not necessarily apply to, though. If it were a higher scale type of job, you want to be an intern, it's the same scenario. Then you're coming and you don't even know what you're doing yet, but you want the top wage. So,
well, remember that the internship thing, they changed the rules on that a long time ago, especially, I think it was law interns, that was absolutely the worst. Like, you could spend a whole summer working in a law firm to gain experience. It was like, you know, you put that on your resume, it's a big deal. So they were basically, it wasn't like an internship. They weren't necessarily learning. They made all these kids file and do all the tasks nobody else wanted to do.
Oh, sure.
And so they abused that. And that, right, I think, was rectified to some extent. So I'm worried that this relaxation of the minimum wage could be, misused and abused.
I'm sure.
Misapplied.
And there's always somebody who will, you know? You're right.
Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Jeff, what are your thoughts?
So, because I work for myself, I had to figure out a way to make up my own wage and have it be fair. So it was based on gas prices. And I went all the way back to when gas was 30 cents a gallon. I also looked at the same period of time what the minimum wage was, and they both creeped and crawled up until the current day. And the problem with minimum wage is, like what y'all were saying, is that you can't, minimum wage isn't based on any skill level, and so you can't afford to pay someone minimum wage that has no skills. It should be a merit-based, you get rid of the minimum wage, let the market determine how much you're worth, and if you're worth nothing, you won't have a job. If you're not worth 50 cents an hour, I can't afford to pay you. It's that simple. Let society determine, let the business determine how much they can pay you and stay afloat. It's so simple, a caveman can do it. God bless America.
Yeah, and I talked about that. You let the market decide, and then if somebody's wages go up and cost of labor goes up, well, as a business owner, then you would have to raise the price of your product. But say you're a small businessman and you're teaching somebody, let's just say home improvement. And so you take this kid in who really doesn't know much. Yeah, he can, you know, carry the hammer and carry the wood and do some tasks. But really, to learn any of the real skill set, it takes time out of your work, your schedule, to train them. So there's an automatic loss of productivity. In that kind of case, maybe relaxation would be a good idea because the person's learning a true skill. The problem is, how do you police that? Were they really learning a skill, or were they really just continuing to be the, you know, go get the the heavy stuff off the truck and carry it up here? I don't know. Let's go to Sam, what's on your mind?
Man, Jeff is stealing my thunder this morning. My thought on this minimum wage is the real minimum wage actually is zero, because if the man cannot afford to pay you any amount, then you don't have a job, so you don't make any money.
Yeah, it's we've gotten to the point where we had child labor. They're paying these, you know, terrible wages and all that. We had to come up with something to get past that, because people were truly being exploited. I mean, it was just barely one level away from being a slave. Candy, you're on the air.
Good morning. Minimum wage and paying interns. When I did my teaching internship, I had an entire semester where I was not allowed to work any other job because all of the things involved in teaching, some of them had to go home with you, and they paid us nothing. We were not paid for our internships, and that was an entire semester of zero income.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, it's kind of a required thing for, say, a graduation and that. But let me get to Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Jerry, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Bob. I could see where within the retail industry, this could be majorly exploited, because instead of hiring you for these low-skilled jobs, they'll say you're in training status for a year and then sort of cut back your hours to the point that when they got to put you at regular minimum wage, that you'll just want to leave the job. And I don't think that these big box companies can really exploit workers that way. I really don't think it's a good law unless there's more context to it, like internships. I think that those should be paid, but I think retail is going to exploit these people.
Great points. Great points from a lot of people, really. It is, it's worth a discussion for sure. It is 7:46 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and the lefties go crazy about the snafu with the Signal app. Details on that coming up on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. 8752. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a happy hump day, Trump Day. Tomorrow evening, the Gators taking on Maryland. NCAA Bracketology, Sweet 16. That's tomorrow night, 7:39. Go Gators.
Oh, yeah.
This congresswoman, if you're not aware of her yet, you will be because day in and day out, kind of like a Maxine Waters, there will be not so bright things that come out of her mouth, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her new one. Now, she is a Democrat congresswoman from Texas.
Right.
Jasmine Crockett. Boy, her great-grandfather's rolling over in his grave right now.
I got a feeling that's not a direct descendancy.
No?
No.
You never know the family tree.
Well,
what's hidden in the family tree? But,
it could be a family wreath. I don't know.
But anyway, she's always making nasty cracks toward Republicans, but this time she really did it. Do you have this on? Yeah, you do.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now.
Okay,
classy
so
there, yeah.
She's referring to the governor of Texas, and because she is from Texas, and she calls him Governor Hot Wheels. In case you're not aware, Governor Greg Abbott is confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah, he had a tree fall on him when he was like in his 20s or something like that.
Yeah.
He's been in a wheelchair for years.
And look, if that might not be completely common knowledge, I think it is in Texas.
Yeah.
I think his name grew in stature and all that. But almost always when they show him on TV, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, and he does a fantastic job, but of course, not in a way that Jasmine Crockett would measure it because, well, she's a Democrat. But I mean, she said this, which is bad enough, but she said it at a human rights campaign dinner.
That is so tacky.
Let's pick on the paralyzed.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That is third class.
Now, the governor, I'm not sure how he reacted. I thought I had this here, but I don't. But I would have just said, well, you know, thank you for considering me hot.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I would have taken all the energy out of it.
Yeah.
You don't have to get defensive because... You know what? Everybody's going to defend you anyway. Everybody knows what she said is over the top disgusting. So you don't really have to. You don't really have to go there. You could just say, I'm not surprised, par for the course.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine Crockett was not well known in 2023 or really even 2024, but she is busying herself, making headlines with her bombastic and controversial remarks, clawing her way to the top of a party left in complete shambles after the last presidential election. Yeah. Democrats, pay attention. She is your rising star. She's going to save the party. Man, yeah. Jasmine Crockett for president.
Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now.
Come on now.
And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot mess.
Classy. Third, but class. Yeah.
third grade?
Just third class.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was not afraid to make all kinds of statements
when she
is making fun of you.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Yeah.
She claimed that she saw Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett with a Capitol Police escort walking through the U.S. Capitol building after she reportedly tried to take a reporter's phone over questions regarding the ongoing attacks against Tesla.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she had a little bit of an escort.
Mm-hmm. So many things.
She's the future of your party, Democrats.
Congratulations.
Support her. Love her. She is awesome for you.
Oh, yeah. Vote for her. Keep her in office.
All right. We've got a lot more to talk about, and we'll begin our third hour coming up next on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you are listening to 97.3 The Sky.